The Crusade Channel is no longer free to listen, but it is free of commercials. And that's a winner for you.
Yeah! Oh, better luck next time, buddy! Woo! Woo! Yeah! All right! Woo!
Whoa, SpongeBob. Slow your roll there, buddy.
Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's calmly proceed back to more of what you bought your Founders Pass membership for. Here on the Crusade Channel.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
The Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look, the plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Okay, look, you want to solve this problem, I want to get my pardon, so why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brondo.
Yeah, but why do they use them to make Brondo?
Because Brondo's got electrolytes.
Anticipated birthday of Mrs. Maggie O'Connell. 21 years of age today. You want to know how old she is? You ask her. I ain't going to be the one to do it. Greetings, this is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, king-size truth from radio-sized speakers, asking the question of the day on a free phone Friday.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
And of course, you know the answer.
Oh, and remember, Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Charged with the task of telling us what it is, we shall talk about on the program. Telephone number to take me up on this most kind and benevolent beneficent offer. Call me when you have no class. 844-527-8723. 844-5-CRUSADE. You can also make your free phone frivolities known in our live Mike Church Show listener chat room, which is online at mikechurch.com/chat. You can also send email. Email address, same as it ever was, kingdude, K-I-N-G-D-U-D-E, at mikechurch.com. And we're watching, you can watch the show live today on the YouBoob. If you are a Founders Pass member, just go to the CrusadeChannel.com website and click the shows tab. Mike Church Show live on YouTube, and bammo, you got me on the big screen. So, happy Friday, or not actually happy Friday, because it's never a happy Friday, because today is the day we pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary, and in praying them, recall that today is the day that our Lord, oh, wait a minute, I forgot, the death penalty is inadmissible. Oh, stupid me. What an idiot. Well, back when God said the death penalty was okay and he didn't have a change of mind thanks to the urgings of Papa Francis, today would be the day that you'd mortify yourself, as we should. And remember that today on Fridays, we don't eat meat, even when it's Maggie O'Connell's birthday. Yeah. Are you going to break the tradition and have a steak today? She's saying, no, I'm good. And that our Lord was crucified on this Friday. So good to have you with us here. Folks, I feel like we've made a lot of progress this week. We have seen many new faces in our chat room at mikechurch.com. We have seen an increase in activity. We even sold some T-shirts and bumper stickers in advance. Not nearly enough, but you still have the chance to take advantage of the Convert T-shirt and bumper sticker, which if you go check the artwork out at mikechurch.com/shop, you can save $5 on the T-shirt and get the bumper sticker for a mere $2.99 add-on until Monday. Then it goes back to regular price. So please forward that around and share it with friends and family, because I suspect that if this thing could go a little viral, that there are many, many hundreds, if not thousands of people that would want one of the T-shirts. And certainly, I've already got requests from people that are having events if we'd sell them the Convert bumper sticker wholesale. By the by, just for clarification, I never said to anyone that the Convert idea with the symbology and the iconography in the letters was my idea. I never told anyone that. I never claimed that it was. Somebody emailed me and said, by the way, you do know that you stole that idea from someone else. I see those stickers all over the place. I never said it was original. I said it's version 2.0, as Jakub called it. Convert 2.0, and that I added my own artistic flair and touch to it. I like that. Somebody asked if we'd make a revert. Consider it done. Happy birthday, Miss O'Connell. I'm sure your fan club in the chat room is. Well, look, there are... BG's Hawaiian Shirt Friday. Is that Ann Felton undercover? folks, there's a lot of stuff going on here that I wish to tell you about. One of the things is there is a activism opportunity in early November in Baltimore. USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, is going to meet. And there is being organized, and for some strange reason, I was asked to be part of the organizing
committee and media outlet, a demonstration and a protest to bring thousands of the Christian concerned faithful to that meeting and demonstrate outside and to demand resignations, demand full accountability, and then demand, after the resignations, that all prelates involved in the sodomite sacristan scandal that has scandalized all of us must be turned over to the civil authorities for prosecution, full prosecution. So you can go to the website, thebishopsnew.com, and see all the details. And I look, I have no part in the thebishopsnew.com. No part in it. Well, what's I'm not an admin. I didn't post anything there. As a matter of fact, I'd be shocked if anything that I say or do about this actually winds up on thebishopsnew.com. But that's ancillary because I was blessed with the opportunity to form this group that's growing called the Crusader Knights of the Most Holy Rosary. And I can tell you that Crusader Knights, whoever wishes to join me in Baltimore, and I already have somebody texted me or somebody sent me a message, Minter Church, you're part of this. I'm in. It was our friend Lise Barr, whose home I spoke at in June. So we've got a few already going to the protest, but I'm going to make the public act of reparation and lead a rosary rally for those reparations and for the priesthood, for vocations. Because one thing that's going to come out of all this is the need for religious orders to begin growing again, especially the priesthood. That's important. And I think it's one of the most important things that we can do. So mark your calendars. If you live nearby, it'll be a solemn yet, I think, productive event. And we'll see you in Baltimore in early November. Okay, moving on now. So, again, you can find that in today's pile of prep. Speaking of, I've been kind of hitting around in this theme this week that the reason we're seeing so much diabolical activity, and it seems like the demons are ascendant and are running the show and are having their way with all of us and all the institutions that you and I would turn to ordinarily for solace and contemplation, meditation, prayer, et cetera, et cetera. The reason it seems as though the demons are ascendant is precisely because they're desperate. They know they're going to fail. They know that their gambit, bring about an end to the Catholic Church, is going to fail. It already has failed. This is the best shot in history since 3:15 p.m., March the 25th, 33 A.D., and it's going over like the proverbial, you know, blank in a punch bowl. It's not going to work. There have been too many people, too many good and faithful that have retreated, got pushed back. They're no longer in retreat. We're now marching directly into the gunfire, directly into the teeth of the enemy's greatest assault. Bring it on. Is that all you got? I label them now the Diabolical Three, Beelzebub, Baphomet, and Bagul. The Diabolical Three are giving it all she has. Well, I'm giving it all she's got, Captain! But it's ultimately going to fail. Like, let me give you an example. Somebody sent me this headline. K through 12 schools bringing in drag queens to teach gender ideology. And this is in Tennessee. This isn't in California or other libtard enclave. This is in Tennessee, for heaven's sake. K-12 schools are bringing in drag queens into the classroom to teach gender ideology, a Thursday video reveal. What is gender ideology? Now, let me take a stab at this. Ideology, loosely defined, is blind faith and devotion to a particular set of beliefs. Reason doesn't apply. Logic doesn't apply. Only faith. So ideology is an idolatry of sorts. When someone says, well, conservative ideology, well, you should back away and go like, so reason didn't apply. Logic didn't apply. It's just because it's labeled conservative, like Fox News, the ideology says it has to be good, right? And look, you can see this in your own life. You know people that run around and call themselves conservative. Where would you find conservative television? You know. Oh, in a church, please. Fox News. Everybody knows that. Is it conservative? No, it's not. I've proven it. You turn it on right now. You can prove it yourself. Conserving what? Pin-up girls masquerading as newscasters? An ideology that has no regard for actual life? There's a headline at the American Conservative Magazine website today that says, yes, the media can cause wars. You put enough propaganda out there in newspapers, television, and radio, people believe it. They're going, oh, well, I tell you what, buddy, I'm going to get on my knees and say the pledge because we're going to war with them ragheads. You've all heard all this. I'm not breaking any news. Anyways, we've seen ideology is therefore not something you should crave. But Brando's got what plants crave. Don't crave an ideology. Just say no. And of course, ideology is then a cheap and dangerous ripoff of the faith. I'll give you another example of ideology. Are you Catholic? Yes. Are you pro a death penalty where it's warranted? No, I'm opposed to it in all instances. Okay, you're a Presbyterian then? No, I'm a Catholic. No, you have an ideological infatuation opposing the dogmatic statement and the dogma and doctrine that has never been in question. Papa Francis, notwithstanding, that's an ideology. You're in grave error. You're going to lead other people into error. You shouldn't be running around calling yourself Catholic. Now, you may say that I have reservations about it in certain instances, because I think we all do. And there are probably people that are on death rows that are innocent and shouldn't be on death row. We acknowledge all this, but we do not deny the morality and the legitimacy legitimacy of capital punishment, the death penalty. See Calvary for an example. So when you hear the word ideology, think bad. No good is going to come out of an ideology.
What if it's an ideology for the faith, Mike?
Well, then that's not an ideology. That's faith. Simple answer. Teachers are praising drag queen story hour. According to a clip released by videographer Sean Fitzgerald and David Horowitz's Freedom Center, the program captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, unabashedly queer role models. Maurice Sendak Community School, a public school located in Brooklyn, New York, hosted a drag queen and first grade teacher, Alexis Hernandez, marveled at the event in a testimonial published on Drag Queen Story Hour's website. If you allow your child to go and be propagandized at one of these drag queen festivals, that's a sin. It has to be. If you participate in one, that's a sin. It's one of the nine. Go down to the list of nine categories. This is the most serious of all sexual disorders here, thinking disorders. When one can deny the very basis of reality, created reality, which says that I, flesh and blood, I'm pinching myself, was born as a male, when you can deny that, and you're going to have people tell you, oh, isn't it great that they're getting in touch with their real gender? No, their real gender is male. And they make very ugly females, by the by. Recall the scene from Crocodile Dundee. So we have that headline. I'm going to go down some headlines here so we can shape up Free Phone Friday and give you some ammo to pick the phone up and call me at 844-527-8723. For my friend Andrew Bezad, I have a twofer today. Pink wave expected this November as highest number of LGBT candidates running for office yet or on the ballot. I have a question. If there is a bill that is coming up for a vote that is going to either deny or affirm a increase in money that has to be borrowed, debt ceiling or debt limit or whatever you want to call it, what difference does it make who the person that's going to vote on it or against it, for it or against it, of what positions and with what individuals that like to perform sex acts in their bedrooms? Here's what it matters.
0.0.
It doesn't matter. Well,
I'm going to vote this. Yeah, I'm going to support her because she's LGBT.
You do realize that when you say that, and there's nine things that you could be a party to someone else's sin, that you just practically joined in on the lesbianism. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. As a matter of fact, there's a great column, opinion piece. I'll tell you what, let me send this to the old printer. I didn't print it. David Carlin, writing at the Catholic Thing. Here's the headline, Seeds of Destruction. This is all about how it is a grievous error and sin to tell a sodomite that it's okay to continue being a sodomite, and I'm going to vote for you because you're a sodomite. A record number of open lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people are standing in elections for public office in the United States. A nonprofit group that supports them said Tuesday. The Victory Institute said gay and transgender people, by the by, take the language back. They're not gay, they're homosexuals. You know, I've been saying this for a dozen or so years now, and I always get, men are church, please. It's okay to give them their term. They're people just like us. You've seen the placards that are now, the posters that are now being plastered on telephone poles, right, with the rainbow flag background and a very tall adult male holding the hand of a very small child male and saying, pederasts are people too. We never denied the dignity of the human person that's a pederast. We just denied that we're going to make their pederasty normal. Big difference. Sean Malloy, the Victory Institute's political director, told Reuters News, quote, it's a really exciting time. We believe that representation is power,
And when someone is in the room and helping to make decisions, they will automatically bring an LGBTQ perspective. Isn't that great?
We have that one going. There's a video out there. You can watch this. I posted in today's pile of prep at MikeChurch.com. Go check it out. It's very depressing, though. I warn you, it'll ruin your Friday. It is an EWTN interview that was conducted Wednesday evening with Cardinal Daniel N. DiNardo, who is the president of the USCCB. Watch this video and tell me if you think, tell me if you see Cardinal DiNardo telling the truth. Does he believe anything about what he tells the interviewer? Now, let me give you the Cliff Note version of what he says. Look, we acknowledge there have been some minor issues and problems, and we acknowledge that there are some people out there that probably have not come, you know, that we don't yet, that are not yet in the public that have been affected by this. So what we encourage you, you know, is we encourage you to come forward. This language is straight out of the Anita Hill, Clarence freaking Thomas hearings. This is 20-year-old cliches here, Your Excellency. And look, we want to help everyone move forward. Move forward doing what? It's obvious, painfully obvious, that the USCCB and the American Bishopric, if you will, or Bishopric, plural, and the American Bishoprica has taken as its model Mordor on the Potomac River. And why shouldn't they? A couple of $1 billion have been poured into the USCCB by Mordor. Why not start acting like them? Instead of acting like prelates with precious immortal souls in their care, treat everyone like they're a taxpayer. Oh, you're a parishioner? Here, let me get you an envelope. And you think about this. The church envelope is the equivalent of a 1040 EZ form. It's basically your parish saying, hey, Lama, you know, here's your tax form. Fill it out and put your check in it. It's all bureaucratic. It's all numbers. My, how Protestant of you. Let's count the numbers. I wonder if anyone at the time of Hernan Cortez, as he was going around Tenochtitlan in Mexico and confronting actual demons and people that were actually possessed by demons and they were actually sacrificing, murdering human beings at the top of pyramids as sacrifices to demonic, to demons that were posing as gods. I wonder if Cortez was keeping account of those that were baptized and converted to Catholicism after the appearance of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Do you think? I don't. As a matter of fact, there is no count. There's estimates. Bernal Castillo, who wrote the only reliable account of Cortez's adventures, and yes, they were adventures, and they were not based on a quest for gold. Again, that's a propagandic lie. Were there some that went after gold? Yes. Did Cortez go there to go find gold? No. And hey, you know what? You know how I noticed? Because you can actually read the charter that was signed by Isabella and Ferdinand that sent him there. Anyways, you watch this. I watched this video, and I felt pity for DiNardo. I'm like, I don't see, and this is just disappointing, I don't see the man of God cardinal. When I think cardinal, I think Pius X, Pius V. I think Saint Jean-Marie Vianney, even though he never became a cardinal. I think St. John of the Cross. You think holy men working miracles. Why? Because they actually believe in miracles. Does it look like Cardinal DiNardo actually believes in miracles? Does it look like any of these men believe in miracles? You might even go so far to say, do some of them even believe in God? Minister Church, please, they're prelates. You can't say things like that. Why not? You said them in private. Why can't I? If you're out there diddling a kid, what permission slip from God did you get? If you're out there diddling another male in a seminary, it's not as though Sodom and Gomorrah is a top secret operation that few people know about. So, if you read this letter, President of U.S. Bishops Conference issues statement on course of action responding to moral failures on part of church leaders. The accusations against Archbishop Theodore McCarrick. By the way, I started working on a song. You're going to have to get the Mike Church Show band back together. I haven't finished it, but I will. Think Beverly Hillbillies. Come and listen to the story about a man named Ted. Poor pederast barely kept his habit fed. Then one day while recruiting at the pool, up through the ground came the devil and his fools. And the Ballad of Ted McCarrick, it's coming. It's coming. Now listen to the bureaucrat. It sounds like Chuck Schumer wrote this. The accusations against Archbishop Theodore McCarrick reveal a grievous moral failure within the church. Okay, why don't you tell us what morality has been crossed, Your Excellency? Just for poops and giggles. They cause bishops anger, sadness, and shame. Okay? Where's the public act of reparation them to express the sadness and shame and then to do something about it? Well, I don't know. Lead your flock in a rosary or six. Better church, bishops don't lead rosaries. Right, see previous statement. Do they have one? This is serious business here. They compel bishops to ask, as I do, what more could have been done to protect the people of God? Not running cover for the pederast. That's what you could have done. When you found out about one, confront it, confirm it, defrock them, excommunicate, and then turn them over to the civil authorities. Let them handle the rest. He acts as though, well, I don't know what more could have been. What do you mean you don't know what more could have been done? You think there weren't pederasts in the church at the time of St. Thomas Aquinas? We know that there were because he wrote about it. This is all just bureaucratic mumbo jumbo. You know, this is Orwellian newspeak is what it is. Both the abuses themselves and the fact that they have remained undisclosed for decades. They weren't undisclosed for decades, Your Excellency. Everyone knew about them. We have, Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League, now admitting that he knew about it back in 2000 and did nothing. Did nothing. Let me ask you a question. Now, pardon my brutally honest presentation, this. If you were a parishioner, okay, and you went to church one day to go plant flowers or something, whatever the case may be, and there was a meeting that had just dispersed between the padre of the parish and some altar servers, and you stumbled into your parish priest And even if it was an adult, let's just look. I'll dress it up a little bit. An adult altar server engaged in an illicit act. What would you do? What would you do? Well, proper course of, well, I don't know if in the middle of that if you're going to walk up and slap somebody, Miss O'Connell, but pull a St. Nicholas. But proper course of action would be, hey, Llama, I see you. And then you had to inform someone that was in authority. Let's say that authority was Bishop DiNardo. All right, Bishop DiNardo, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to go confront. Well, the priest denied. He said that didn't happen. Well, I'm telling you, I saw it with my own eyes. You better do something about it. Well, you know, little parishioner, go home and get your tithe envelope and send us a couple of $100 and we'll take it under advisement. Hey, Padre Pederast. You can't be doing it in a confessional, dude. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't care if you're doing it. What you're doing in your time, who am I to judge? Says Papa Francis. So, you know, just got to keep it on the down low. This is what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what happened. What I just described to you is what happened. You know how I know this? Because I've seen hundreds of letters that have been sent to the hashtag CatholicMeToo email address. People that have just come out of the woodwork telling these stories. I stop reading them. They just break my heart. I can't read them anymore. But I won't ever divulge any letter that I've ever read or the name of anyone or anything, but I've seen the letters myself. I've seen these firsthand accounts. What I just described to you happened hundreds and hundreds of times. Why wasn't anything done about it? In rare instances, real men and women of God, inspired by the confidence in their faith, did something about it. They actually did something about it. And they brought those men to justice. There's only one course of action.
We can give them therapy. No, you don't. You know, this same death penalty mentality, well, what we need to do is to be kind to the prisoners and love them, and then this and that and the other. Okay, what we need to do then is to be kind to the pederasts, right, to the pederast prelates and the sodomite sacristans, right? Be kind to them and understand their plight, right? You see how once you go down this road of corrupt thinking, you start denying dogmas? You can't escape this pit.
These failures raise serious questions. Why weren't these allegations of sins against chastity and human dignity disclosed when they were first brought to church officials? Well, Your Excellency, you already know the answer to that. Because no one wanted it to stop. That's why. So many of them were in on it, yet I had to have gotten rid of some accounts, half the freaking clergy. Why wasn't this egregious situation addressed decades sooner and with justice? Again, same answer. What must other seminaries do to protect the freedom to discern a priestly vocation without being subject to misuse of power? Make the seminary one that teaches and promotes tradition and the true, solemn, holy, and sacred liturgy of the Council of Trent. You know, I'm done sissyfooting around with this stuff, folks. There's no other way to look at this. If you're not going to restore what has been stolen and trampled upon, well, then it truly is over. And when I say over, this whole thing will continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And there will truly then be, outside the walls of Jericho. Who was it who went, Lord, I'm the last one. I'm just me. I'm a remnant. And God said, dude, do you really think I'd leave you there by yourself? There's plenty of them out there. You just don't know about it. And then he gives more bureaucratic mumbo jumbo. Look, I'm glad that he wrote the letter. I'm glad that he's been forced, the USCCB prez has been forced to acknowledge this. This is bureaucratic crap here. This means absolutely nothing. So, the hashtag CatholicMeToo campaign continues because these pederasts have to be driven out. Now, I do not believe that the laity can have any role in this other than to make it known that we know that you're harboring egregious sinners. They are a threat to our children, and we demand that you remove them. And we pray. We pray rosary. We pray in the veil of tears that you do what you should do, what you must do, and remove them. Yeah, there's a comment in the chat room at mikechurch.com/chat. I can't help but wonder if some parishioners might sue for their contributions to be returned under the claim of fraud. You know what, Shannon? Don't get me started on that. I'm just going to say, is it fraud of the priest or of the Jimmy Buffett, quote, mass, close quote, that they endured? Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers at 844-527-8723. Let's go to the Free Phone Friday telephones. This is Roy in Ohio. First up here today on a Free Phone Friday. Hello, Roy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, I listened to your defense of dogma concerning capital punishment Monday. And if I didn't know better, I would have thought you was at church last Sunday where Father Jambone made the same arguments.
Really? Did he?
Yes, he did.
He's talking about my friend, Father Jeffrey Jambone.
Oh, yes, he's a great priest.
Well, Father Jambone is the one that pulled a St. Nicholas on me and slapped me and said, you can't live with that woman anymore as husband and wife if you want to get the sacrament, and you need to go get yourself an annulment or try to get an annulment and do this right. I'm leaving. I take back all that confession I just heard, too. You get none of that.
So, can I relate a David Simpson story?
A David Simpson story? Wait a minute. Do I need to get sad music out, or is this a happy story?
Yes.
Yes, please do.
In 2017, he was up here during Holy Week, and I got to meet him on Good Friday after the service. He's a true gentleman. But anyway, as he was leaving, I glanced at the back of his van, and I was shocked at first because I thought he had a coexist bumper sticker on the back of his van. But at second glance, it was one of the convert.
Yes.
So, but initially I was shocked, but I quickly discovered, and I'm really looking forward to getting some of your bumper stickers. I'm 68 years old, and I don't go out in public in T-shirts, so, you know, I don't buy your
T-shirts. Okay. Well, give it to a grandkid or a kid as a Christmas gift, then.
Well, that's a possibility.
There you go. Look, there's dozens of ways to spread the message that is contained in the convert. And in the twist that I added to it, again, I never said I came up with it. I as you point out, the convert, heck, I bought them from Brother Andre and Marie 2 years ago. I gave that one to Simpson. That's where he got it from. He got it from me. So Mrs. O'Connell, though, had been bugging me, saying that, look, they don't have these in the SBC store or whatever. We should be making these. You need to do the artwork. And so I did what I do. I took their design, or the design that I saw, and I hopefully improved upon it. You know, just made a little bit more, added my artistic flair to it, if you will. And yeah, the bumper stickers will be here Tuesday. They're already ordered. And my printer's right down the road. She'll deliver them Tuesday. So if you just order bumper stickers, we can ship them to you midweek next week. Order a couple so you can give them away.
Yes, I plan on getting some for the parish, and for them to do with as they wish.
Now, what do you think about this whole bishop thing? And does this sound like a? Would you be able to tell the difference between? Let's see, you're in Ohio, from that socialist useful idiot Sherrod Brown. If Sherrod Brown issued a statement, and what Bishop what Cardinal DiNardo issued?
Well, I I just don't have any confidence in the USCCB. I don't think they'll, you know, in their upcoming meeting, I don't think they'll address any of this.
Oh, but they're, if a couple of thousand people are outside demanding, oh, here's the catch. If the Clinton News Network and the New York Times and the WAPO and all their and the rest of them, because this is an easy story for them to cover, right? All you need is a couple of priests and a couple of victims to show up. You put a little microphone stand, a little dais up there. You put a little stage, you know, like you see the libs do all the time. And then you parade, or not parade, you bring up a series of people that have been victims, and they tell their story. This is a softball. And look, the media, secular media, already despises the church. They're already suspect of all priests and of all us laity. They're going to lap this up like dogs, like cats at a bowl of milk. So it's to me, anyway, I can visualize this being carried into fruition if there are witnesses that are there that, hey, this happened to me. I'm one of those. A Catholic me too. I'm in the me too. You can visualize the media. Now, look, if the secular media, which has been almost, other than the reports in the Boston Globe, back in 2002, the secular media has been very friendly to the USCCB because it does what they wanted to do. It's all for immigrating Muslim refugees. It's all for having no borders, USCCB. It's all for all of these nonsenses. And by the way, those are not dogmatic expressions of the faith. They do it because it pays. Simple as there's more corruption there in the refugee crisis. Now that's an outrage, and that's on their books. There's no denying that. This thing stinks. They stink. The whole thing stinks. The whole idea now, or to me, that's been implemented here, this very top down heavy clergy that reigns and rules tyrannical and roughshod over us pedestrian plebeian boobs, the faithful, is also at issue here. I know too many men who have had their careers ruined by some of these same bishops that are all sanctimonious and pious and high and mighty, and who are issuing this edict. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Well, this needs... Yep. Why don't you tell me what you knew about the sacking of a certain theologian at a certain Midwestern university because you told him he didn't have the faculties to teach theology in your diocese, and this just happened. No, I can't tell you the name. I want to know. I want to know. What do you know about that? Look, there are outrages galore, brother. You don't even want to know. You're probably better off not knowing.
What bothers me is eventually there's going to be payoffs. The churches are going to, or the bishops are going to be selling off churches, and it's going to be the beautiful churches like they did in Philadelphia. It's not going to be these hideous churches in the round. They're not going to sell them.
True.
I don't know. It's discouraging, but we just have to pray.
Well, hold on. I'm looking at this. I'm just looking to see. I'm skimming to see if the word. Hang on. Okay, so in the final paragraph, we do find the word pray. I was going to say, is the word prayer even in the USCCB statement on McCarrick, on Cardinal McCarrick, Uncle Ted? Let us pray for God's wisdom and strength for renewal, as we follow St. Paul's instruction. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and pleasing and perfect. And that's Romans.
Sounds like a boilerplate afterthought.
Well, it also sounds like, hey, you need to move along, citizen parishioner. We need to move on and usher in the new age. With you in control? No. How about no? How about now? Anyways, Roy, I'm glad you called, brother.
Well, thank you for all you do, Mike.
You're very
welcome. I hope you have a good day with Miss O'Connell on her birthday.
Happy birthday to Maggie. Thank you very much, Roy. Appreciate it. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. 844-5-CRUSADE. Moving on. Let's see here. My thoughts on the essence of the current crisis in the church. This is written by our friend, Father Richard Heilman. Father Heilman is not afraid to tell you what's really going on here. And then he just got to love it because he retreats to it over and over and over. And the man actually lives this stuff. But guys, as I said, when I was with Father Heilman 3 weekends ago, but guys, we have a supernatural force on our side. Okay, yeah, Father, hey, we're discussing media business here, pal. You need to pipe down. Blah, 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 blah. But guys, we have a supernatural ally. Yeah, yeah, Padre, you're at the table. You got to say that stuff. Sure, whatever. But guys, we have a supernatural ally, you know. Here, look at this. This is a combat rosary. Look at it. Yeah, yeah, Padre, it's cool. Mitter Padre, please. Father Heilman, please. Stand down. Enough of this supernatural ally business. This is a human element that has to be brought to bear here. So he actually does believe this. That's refreshing. You know, somebody said, I know who it was. It was, blah, 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 St. Maximilian Cold Bay Center. Oh, come on, Mike. He was on a show. Oh, this is an embarrassing brain spell. Oh, Hugh Owen. Hugh Owen. Good grief. Hugh Owen, actually, at the Cold Bay Center's last conference that Steve Cunningham attended, there was a presentation there. One of the presentations, I think Hugh did it, was, you know what's missing in today's Catholic world and at almost every Catholic church that's out there, you know what's missing? People believing in miracles. People actually believing that there is a God. Now, let me go back to something that I said before I get into Father Heilman here on a Free Fun Friday. If you can pick a subject, then I can pick a subject. So I'm going to pick this one. Let me go back to something that I have been blessed to learn, and I'm always excited to learn more about, to try and gain a little more knowledge on this. It might lead my irredeemable soul to some wisdom on it. Remember how I tell you, or as I told you, when you say the creed, you don't just, it's not just something perfunctory that's part of the mass that you have to say. It's a creed, credo, from the Latin, I believe. You better church, I don't believe. Do you believe in all 12 things? There are 12 statements in, for example, the Apostles' Creed. Credo in Deum, I believe in God. Credo in Deum, Patrem Omnipotentem, Father Almighty, Creatorum Caeli et Terrae, Maker of Heaven and Earth. Now, right there, most people, 90-95%, they gong, she gong. Yeah, I just kind of repeat that, Maker of all that is seen and unseen, Creator of Heaven and Earth, mumbo jumbo. That's Genesis is mythology. Come on, Mike, you don't actually believe that. No, you must. You must. And when we're talking about miracles, here's why. Because if God can make earth, if he can make mountains, if he can make the seas, if he can make the trees, if he can make the animals, Brother Francis says, if he can make anything, if he made all, and he did, he made all of this, then he can unmake it. He also put into play the physics, the laws of physics, that make these things operate for what? This is the most beautiful part, I think, of the faith that I've ever heard anyone say. And Brother Francis says this in the cosmology lectures. It's all done for you, my friend. Me and you. It's for man. Again, the dog looks up at the moon. He's just barking at the moon because it's a bright light. He doesn't know it's a moon. Just like David Simpson showed me this video yesterday, this absolutely just preposterous woman. It's all tatted up and ringed up and everything. Some stupid dog is walking down the road. She sees the dog and goes, oh, it looks like he's abandoned. So she puts him in her car and she's videotaping herself. She's FaceTiming live as she's driving. And she's looking, she's bawling. It's okay, buddy. You're going to be okay. I love you. And the dog's just looking at her like, hey, babe, got a hamburger? Kind of hungry here. The dog doesn't know. The dog does not have emotions. This is a lie. They're not humans. So when you say creatorum caeli et terrae, creatorum unum deum patrum omnipotentem, creatorum caeli et terrae, when you say that line, you just said, I believe in miracles. Do you really? Well, I never seen no miracle. I never seen no miracle come out of no toilet. You have to believe. And his presentation was, is that the reason we don't see miracles in our days, because we don't believe in them. Mr. Church, please, I'll show you a miracle. It's called an iPhone. It's a smartphone. That's a miracle. No, that's human achievement. It's not a miracle. It may appear to be miraculous, but it's not miraculous. It's you can predict what it can do. It abides by the laws of physics that God set in motion. It's not a miracle. There's nothing miraculous about it. A woman walking out of a hospital that was in a coma and was pronounced brain dead and was scheduled to have her heart ripped out and donated to someone, that's a miracle. You ever had St. Anthony of Padua intercede for you and work a little miracle because you lost something, and then, how did that get there? If you don't believe in miracles, then you don't believe in God. It's as simple as that. And you have to take that line of the creed seriously. Again, nothing happens by accident. These things are placed in order. I believe what's the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. You shall have no gods before me, etc., etc. That's not an accident. The first commandment is, hey, I am your creator. Love me. I made you to love me. What's the first line in the creed? Credo and unum Deum. In the Apostles' Creed, the one I'm giving you, it's different in some other creeds, but it's the same. What in the first order? Hey, I believe in God. That's the first line. Why? Well, because he's the maker of heaven and earth. The moon, the stars, all that. It doesn't have an ethereal purpose. Its purpose is for your amazement, my amazement, and for our imagination. And it's beautiful, isn't it? You cannot glance up at a night sky and look at the stars, try to find Jupiter, spot Mars. Mars is up this month. You can see Mars. And not marvel at, wow. God created all that for me, little old me, so I could look up and be amazed. You put that in perspective. No wonder men and women were willing to have their heads cut off for the faith, because they actually believed in God, credo and unum Deum, one God. Not 38,000 varieties at the Grapevine Worship Center down the street. One. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel on a free phone Friday, 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. This is Ken in Minnesota next up here on free phone Friday on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Hello, Ken, how you doing?
Good, Mike, how are you doing?
I am well. Glad to hear
Thanks
you.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So, question for you.
Please, I'm all ears.
When do you think this PA grand jury report is going to be released? And are we stupid enough to actually believe it's actually going to be released? And if so, how many revisions will be made in that report if it ever is released?
We're supposed to have it already. Didn't they say August the 8th?
Exactly. So I went to Canon 212 yesterday, and thank you for your show for the advertising for that. Because I used to go to Pew Sitter, and I still do. But you know, there's some great stuff in there. In fact, I was watching a video from Frank Walker. You watch his videos, I'm guessing, right?
I've seen them. Yes.
And he provides some good comedy. I'll tell you that. But you know, I just watching and reading some of that stuff in there, and these perverts are not going to let that stuff be released. I just don't believe it.
Well, we were told, Ken, back in the third week in July that the grand jury had finished, right? That there were over 300 names, proper nouns, on that document. And that they were going to be released. Well, you have to give us time to prepare this and that and the other. So we know what part of the content was.
Give us time to prepare for what?
Yes, exactly. Give us time to prepare. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, to answer your question, when do I think you're going to be released? Brother, I don't know. As I said, you would have thought they would have been released already. It's obvious again, that there's high-level political bureaucratic jockeying going on here to redact as much of that report as is possible to minimize the damage. You know what's the irony here is? We're Catholics. We want that report. We want to know who the pederasts are. There's not a one of us that I know, except for the lukewarm, who go like, I don't think we should know that. They've done enough damage. No, they're going to do more damage if you don't out them. You got to out every single one of them.
So, you know, Mike, I'm a kind of a revert like you in many ways, and I've finally come into the Latin Mass and trying to with my wife in the last couple, 3 years. And, you know, I've got a good friend of mine in the city here who works in law enforcement, and he had been telling me this stuff since 2002, the stuff that he sees him across, and you would be amazed at the stories that he would tell me. And then he said a lot of times he wouldn't tell me stuff because he didn't want to scandalize me, and you know, it had to do with the clergy, you know, coming across, you know, through the jail system. And it was amazing, the stories. You know, the pederasty, the solicitation for little gay boys and their little lovers. It was incredible. And I didn't really believe the extent of it. Now it's like, I look back at it, this is not a little problem. This is, I believe.
This is institutional.
It's a sad thing to say. And God forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the majority of these men are a bunch of pederasts, and they're coming for each other. And when you hear priests say, you know, don't listen to Mike Church, don't read the stuff you see at Pew Sitter, don't read the stuff you see. It's a lot of gossip, Ken. Don't read it, and it's distracting for you in your faith. No, it's not. It's good to know the truth. And I've got little boys. You think I'm going to put my little boys around these queers? No. I don't want my boys around these queers alone. It's sad to say we're in a state in this world today. We got to say that, you know, a lot of these guys, I believe, are a bunch of queers. And no one's doing anything about it. I mean, you're talking about it. The Remnant talks about it. AKA Catholic talks about it. Vox Cantoris Blogspot. I mean, all of them are talking about it. But who's doing anything about it?
Well, there is this march.
I agree with that Frank Walker in that something has to be done physically. These men have to be thrown out of the church physically.
Well, I mean, if you go to the website, thebishopsnew.com, you'll see that the USCCB meeting is in Baltimore in November, and there is a sign-up form there to commit to go to that meeting and a show of solidarity and outrage. If a couple of thousand people show up there and demand, hey, we're outside, excellencies, What are you doing in there? You better be putting some priest up on the Barbie to roast and turn over to the frock and turn over to the civil authorities, because we're not going home until we get some answers and we get some results. So there is something being done.
Right.
Now, well, I don't know that effort's enough. Now, what I look here, I'll lead you in this. I'll throw this out. What ought to be happening, or I'll descend from truth now down into opinion. So, from my descent from truth to opinion, what ought to be happening is someone like yours truly, and others, and like Father Richard Heilman and others, start asking people, all right, like, get ready. We're going to have a public act of preparation. Now, I believe that one of the intentions on the 54-day novena coming up, so it's 27 days of petitions and then 27 days for reparations, right? That's how you get to 54. That one of the intentions, if it's not already in there, ought to be added. We're praying these rosaries and we're participating in this novena, and we're affirming that this is my public, in solidarity with the thousands of others. He said 45,000 have signed up already. In solidarity with the 45,000 others, I am uniting myself in common prayer. That's 45,000 rosaries per day for all of us to make reparations for this and to bring justice to those that have suffered injustice. And that's all of us. If you're trying to live the faith, brother, you're suffering a scandal and an injustice because of this. And that's fine. Offer it up as a, you know, as a mortification or whatever, and continue to endure it. But no one can stop us from praying. Do you know that on the – just take it back about – let's put this in the – take us out of the priestly world. Let's put it into the real world. Do you know that on the day, on June the 5th, Catholic bishops around the United States were told, I'm not sure how they were communicated, maybe it was a telegram, were told, tell your priest to hold special vigils in your churches where the faithful are to be encouraged to pray a holy rosary for the Normandy invasion. Do you know that? Millions went into the churches and got on their knees, went to confession, got the sacraments, and prayed the rosary for the men of D-Day. And, of course, we know what happened. We know that many of those men died, but we also know that the beach was ultimately taken, and the end of the diabolical Third Reich was at hand. But no one ever gives credit. Oh, look at the brave soldiers. Well, the soldiers were brave. This is true. What about the Mother of God? She was prayed to, not just in the United States, around the world, people were on their knees praying rosaries. We have a similar situation. We're suffering a diabolical attack. Ken, we know where the freaking enemy is, right? We know where they are. And we're about to go storm their little Bastille. Get on your knees. And like Father Heilman says, we got a supernatural friend and an ally in Our Lady, and pray the rosary. That's what you do.
Right.
All right, brother, I got to go.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, absolutely. Great to hear from you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Folks, way over time for this segment. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
Brother Mike Church presents Flashback. Sinful things that were happening 20 years ago. Jurassic Park, the remake of Godzilla, and the beginning of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Are either of you homosexuals?
You mean like flaming or...
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Let's hope and pray no one will ever confess those sins again. The Mike Church Show, preaching and teaching from his abbey while living here in the present on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Cooking up rules, a single digit tax increases would never do. that food away, smoking's a sin. And selling whole milk might get you 5 to 10. I was looking for gov in all the wrong places, looking for gov in too many stages, searching for wars and bombing places is what I'm dreaming of. Groping a child with TSA Glovers, I curse the day I discover no other hearts. Then with no gov in sight, and they did everything they could to get the government right. Those great men departed and your good times end. I turned to Big Brother and made it my friend. I was looking for gov status, searching for wars and bombing places is what I'm dreaming of. Groping a child with TSA Glovers, I'll curse the day I discover no other hearts. Looking for God, you come a knocking on the more door, you get the government you deserve. Is what I'm dreaming of. Now that I've found a Gardasil governor, I'll bless the jail.
And welcome back. Free Phone Friday, Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from radio size speakers, always online at crusadechannel.com, always live on our apps, which are free to download in the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store today. As a matter of fact, I meant to talk about this yesterday. For those of you who steadfastly refuse to become founding brother, founding father, or Crusader level members, thereby have not unlocked the uber cool features of the Crusade Channel content app, which is just simply the best way to consume after the fact our on-demand features. For example, Permission to Die, the story of the 16 Carmelite nuns of Compiègne. Joseph Pearson, I just the other day released. You people haven't gone and downloaded it, but it's there. Episode number 11 of The Piercing Truth, our first treatment of a female literary convert. One of the best episodes we ever did. All that is there. Out of over 100,000, check this out, out of over 100,000 lifestyle apps available in the iTunes Store, you can prove that you can see this yourself. You go to the App Store, you see it right there. The Crusade Channel content app is ranked number 133 on the planet. I saw that. I went, "Why? That's got milk of what? That's oh, that's got to be a misprint." No, it's still there. It has 66 five-star reviews. Go if you had the app, go review it, please. Give it a review. Maybe we can get that 133 up into the 100. Who knows? So that's one little announcement. I also would like to say that I've been asking you to go to our crowdfunding page to assist us in putting the capital together to purchase this piece of hardware that will enable us to broadcast from any location where there's a cell phone tower nearby or even a POTS, P-O-T-S, that's a landline for the uninitiated, or a Wi-Fi. It can connect to Wi-Fi. It's an expensive little gizmo, but it does the job. We had a good Samaritan last night that donated a very large... Are we at the number, Ms. O'Connell? If we're not at the number, we're close. But almost, either he did or he put, it was very close to throwing it over the top. Okay, so he did. So we've got the number now. If you're going, Minute Church, I'm going to make it. No. I only, there's another piece of a gizmo that connects to that thing that is the mixing console that I didn't even put on there. So, and I can't recall what the exact actual retail price is. But that's the next thing to knock out. So thanks to all of you that participated in or that crowdfunding has not closed. It's still there. So there's one more piece there. And you want to go mikechurch.com/shop. While you're there, pre-order your Convert T-shirts and bumper stickers and save $5, but you got to order them by Monday. Mike, and go look at the artwork. You're going to want one. Maggie O'Connell will put it in the chat room at mikechurch.com/chat, where we are all live today. Now, one more thing before I go to Debbie and his movie reviews, and then get back to the Free Phone Friday for Volatiles and Telephone. Because she didn't... let me just... Here, I'll tell the story this way, briefly, quickly. Mrs. O'Connell made a rosary from the Little Bayou Rosary for a famous actress who has appeared on this show. And I sent it to her, and I wrote her a letter, handwritten, sent her a copy of Humility of Heart. And this is six months ago. The thing, and forgot about it. Although I've been praying for her conversion to Our Lady. I got a handwritten note on a beautiful piece of stationery yesterday saying that it was the most beautiful piece of jewelry she'd ever received. Work of art, that's what it was. It's a work of art. And that... she was learning to pray it, and was just like I said, she was receiving unbelievable graces from it, which I warned her. I said, don't ask for it because, you know, and she's Protestant. I said, once you go down this road, you mother will grab you and will pull you over the top, over the finish line. She won't stop until you, so you might as well just go ahead and do it now. You cannot resist her. And the note did not say that the process was completed, but it was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to go get a frame, and I'm going to frame it. And it was handwritten, and I just thought to myself, wow. Don't ever discount, as Father Heilman says, that supernatural grace from the praying of the rosary. She's got to do it consistently. I think is the only thing that she asks for. Anyways, thought I'd just pass it along. So it was a joy to read and receive that letter yesterday. And then this morning to find out, hey, we actually hit the number on the crowdfunding. Who knew? Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, always online at crusadechannel.com. Go download those apps that I'm talking about. They're easy to find. Search for Veritas Talk Radio Network in the iTunes or the Google Play Store today. Okay. Let's go to the telephones. Debbie Schlussel from DebbieDoesPolitics.com is here with our weekly movie reviews. We'll find out what's playing at the Paradise Theater this weekend. Hey, Debbie, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Doing great. Don't tease us by saying famous actress and then who's appeared on the show.
Wow, she's very, very, she's very guarded with her privacy, and especially the privacy of her daughter. I think if she wants it known, she'll make it known. But forget how cool it is and how exciting it is to receive a handwritten letter.
That's true. Nobody writes a handwritten letter anymore.
Well, I mean, I do. I write letters to my daughters often. And they get them in the mail and go like, Dad, you actually sat down and handwrote me a letter? Yeah, yeah. and that's just to keep the art of writing alive and get the mailman something to do other than deliver junk mail and notices from the IRS. So, yes, it was a handwritten note. It was very touching. Anyways, what's playing at the Bijou Theater?
Well, there's one okay movie, but not great, and that is The Meg, which is about a giant prehistoric.
Oh, this is a shark movie.
Shark called the Megalodon.
Yeah. I've seen the trailer. Jason Statham's in this, right?
Right. Now, it was okay. This was not a great movie. There's a reason it's in August, the Pet Sematary of Movies. It was so slow at the beginning, I fell asleep a couple times. I didn't really miss anything. And then when it finally takes off, it's like half the movie is over. They could have cut that movie down significantly. And then it's finally good, but it's still not as good as Jaws. All right, so the story is that Jason Statham is like one of these underwater sea explorers. He works for this company that is owned by this billionaire played by Rainn Wilson. And this company has this Chinese father and daughter partners who are specialists in underwater exploration. And they have this, like, it looks like an oil rig out in the middle of the ocean near China or Australia or wherever out there. And it goes all the way down many floors into the ocean and then, and underwater. And because of stuff they're doing, they release warm water and all this other stuff that attracts and frees these megalodons that apparently have been hidden underground under the ocean. You know, I didn't really understand that part, but somehow they were hidden. Mm-hmm. And trapped, and all of a sudden they're out. And first you think it's one, and then you find out there's more than one. But anyway, the shark comes out. They didn't know they released it into the great waters until they see it, and it's going to try and chomp on the glass walls of their underwater facility.
Right. That's all in the trailer. You saw that's
yeah.
Yeah, it's, okay. So
then, well, you know, I don't want to give it too much away, but anyway, then basically the rest of the movie is how to stop it from destroying them and how to destroy it. And the Chinese daughter lady, she does not want to kill it because of science. And it's like, what? Just get rid of it. It's like all these PETA people. And Jason Statham and everybody else is like, you're nuts. We're killing this thing or we're going to die. So they do. But they do, you know, go on this mission to destroy it. And that's pretty much the rest of the movie. Now, one thing I know would never happen, like there's this whole scene on the beach in China.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this rich couple on a yacht. And they are getting married, and they have this dog that's, like, dressed up all cute and everything. And the dog's name is Pippin. And after the movie was over and the studio reps asked me what I thought of the movie, the first thing I said is Chinese people are never going to name their dog Pippin.
Pippin? That's a Lord of the Rings name, isn't it?
I never saw the Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah.
I only saw one Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah, there's Mr. Frodo. And then there's Reliable Sam, and then there's Pippin. Pippin, Maggie O'Connor, isn't Pippin the one that talks about second lunch?
If you say so, I didn't see those. Most of them.
Pippin's the one that said, he doesn't know about second lunch or second breakfast or whatever. I'm pretty sure that's a Tolkien character named Pippin.
All right. Wasn't there a Broadway play called Pippin and there's a play called Pippin, but they spell it different. P-I-P-P-E-N.
Uh-huh.
This movie, the dog spelled P-I-P-P-I-N.
Ah.
But I still don't think Chinese people name their dog Pippin. I bet you you won't find a single Chinese with a dog named Pippin. Plus, they don't want to name their dinner Pippin anyway. But anyhow, you know, the movie was okay. It wasn't the greatest movie. Once it really got going, then it was entertaining. Then, you know, I enjoyed it. So I would say, like, maybe the last half to a third of the movie was good. And the rest was terrible. So I would give it, like, maybe half a Reagan at best.
Now I have to ask, did they borrow anything from Jaws?
Not really, except the shark with big teeth that eats people.
The other day it was on FX. Middish Church was watching the movie from last year or 2 years ago where the surfer chick gets stranded out on the rock.
Yeah, with Blake Lively. I liked that one.
Yeah. No, it was pretty exciting. And I'm just going like, okay, this shark just circling around just to get this one meal. It's a little far.
Right, that part was a little.
Once you get over that, though, yeah, it was it was good.
Plus, I just don't believe that a shark is that directed and obsessive.
No.
I think they're going to give up. After maybe a couple of tries.
Well, and then you know what's going to happen. What happens after that movie comes out? You're going to have some egghead. They're going to go interview for an episode of Shark Week. And you're going to go, like, oh, well, you see, this is a total misunderstanding of the way the shark eats and the way the shark hunts his territorial waters, you see. This is just total hokum pokum imagination and fantasy here. So sometimes in fiction, works of fiction, you just have to suspend belief.
Mm-hmm.
And just let it happen. Just let it.
Right.
Once you get over that, okay.
I stood for the second half of the movie. The first half was so darn slow and boring that I couldn't. You know, I just was bored. But once it gets going, it's okay. Then what else was there? All right. So the next movie is Crazy Rich Asians, which I hated. Basically, it's...
what's it called? Crazy Rich Asians?
Crazy Rich.
Oh, Rich. You mean like this Nimrod Zhang that the New York Times hired as an editor?
No, I don't think she's rich.
No.
But anyway...
By the way, Debbie, in the movie Jaws, the dog that gets eaten when the two guys fall off the pier, his name is Pippet.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, the dog was playing fetch and disappears because the shark ate him.
Are you serious?
Yeah, his name is Pippet.
How do you spell
You see,
it?
Only the Mike Church Show here brings a crack research team to the airwaves every day.
Well, maybe that was a tribute to that, then.
So there is a Jaws. So, yeah, so so the producers of Meg acknowledged that was a hat tip to the maker of the Jaws. So there you go.
All right, and it's on the beach. Like, it's
yes.
Right near the beach.
So,
all right.
Well,
wow,
there you go.
All right. Thank you for that. So then there's Crazy Rich Asians, which, number one, if I were Asian, I would be offended by this movie because it's, like, all stereotypes. It's, like, a zillion stereotypes. Number two, it's way over the top. Number three, if this was a movie starring white people, we would say it was horrible, and it was horrible. The story is that there's this NYU econ professor who's Chinese. Her mother's a single mother, and she has this boyfriend that she thinks is just your average Chinese guy with a British accent. But then it turns, and he's from Singapore, but he takes her home for his best friend's wedding where he's a best man. And she learns that his family is the richest family in Singapore. They're old money from the 1800s. They're multi-zillionaires, and they look down on her because she's just a commoner, being just an NYU professor from a single mother.
Ah.
Which is, like, that would never happen. In real life, I think anyone would be impressed that somebody's an NYU professor in game theory. Anyone would be. And she's pretty and whatever. It just, I didn't buy the whole plot. It seemed very contrived. And so his family hates her. his family and friends hate her because she's not rich and she's not a supermodel and whatever. And they make her feel unwelcome, and they tell her, the mother says, you will never be good enough for my son, and blah, blah, blah. And they basically torture her psychologically and then plant some dead fish on her bed and put blood all over it. And
shades of The Godfather.
Right. Well, but not. I mean, we can't even mention that movie and this movie in the same sentence. It's not even close. I mean, that's like.
I hear you, sister.
Yeah. So, anyway, I hated this movie. It was just over the top and silly. And so, anyway, I would give it half a mark, I guess, maybe even a full mark. It wasn't good. And then the next thing is, and by the way, the soundtrack was totally cheesy, too. They had Chinese versions of, like, Wise Men Sing with the, or what is it, Fools Walk In, the Elvis song, Fools Rush In.
Only fools rush in.
Yeah, they had Chinese people singing that.
Oh, no. Karaoke singing, style? No.
And singing, and singing K-pop style. Seeing a lot of these songs K-pop style,
ugh.
You know, that Korean pop style. By the way, that's another thing that was like a sore, that was a sore point for me, is, you know, they tell us regular white people that we're uninformed and ignorant when we mix up the different Asians, like Koreans and Chinese and Japanese and so on. Yet half the people in this movie who were supposed to be Chinese were very obviously, at least to me, Korean. And if you look at the credits, you'll see, like, half the people in this movie were not Chinese. They do not belong in Singapore. They were Korean. So they do this all the time in these Asian movies. They'll have a Japanese playing a Chinese. They'll have Koreans playing Chinese and so on. So if you're going to do that to me, then don't get mad when I mix you up in real life, all right? You're mixing me up. Don't get mad when I mix you up. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's hypocritical. If you don't want us to think all Asians look alike, then don't tell us all Asians look alike.
Yeah, stop stereotyping them with your casting.
Exactly. So, and they do this in every single Asian movie. I always look, and you can always, there's always Koreans and Japanese and Chinese and all in their movies. Always. They mix them up. So there's that, all right? Then the last new movie this weekend, absolutely horrible, race-baiting, anti-Trump piece of propaganda that all the critics are gushing over.
Of course.
Is the Spike Lee movie, Black Klansman.
Oh, good grief. Wait, right. Would this man plead? Mitter Lee, please stop!
All right, I don't need a raving racist who hates white people and anti-Semitic bigot who hates Jews to lecture me on screen about bigotry against black people and racism because you're a little bit of a hypocrite. I'm just so tired of this guy. So anyway, he made this movie about, he says it's a true story of a black guy that infiltrated the Klan. Well, he didn't really infiltrate the Klan. That's totally a lie. He called them over the phone and used a white person accent, all right? And he used a Jewish guy who was white to infiltrate the Klan. That's who infiltrated the Klan. The black guy made a couple phone calls. That's it. And the best thing I can say about this movie is, number one, it's over. the credits ran. Number two is that I would say that Topher Grace from That 70s Show does look exactly like David Duke. He looks a lot, he looked a lot like him. That was good casting. David Duke is apparently the Klan, was the head of the Klan when they infiltrated and whatever. The movie is stupid. It's race baiting. And throughout the movie, they have the white people say stuff like, make America great again and America first, which we do know that America first back in the day was kind of a xenophobic slogan and so on that was uttered by people who were racist. But
yes.
Donald Trump's use of America first has a completely different meaning and connotation. He's talking about trade wars.
Yeah, well, you know that Patrick J. Buchanan was the first to use that.
Well, Patrick J. Buchanan is not exactly clean in my book. Spike Lee in this movie was trying to make it that Donald Trump is a racist and that everyone who supports him is a racist. And that was the whole point of this movie, was to superimpose the Klan from the 70s and 80s onto the Trump presidency right now. And they used a lot of the slogans that Donald Trump uses. And my point is that Donald Trump's use of America first now is not the same. It does not have the same meaning or the same context as when it was used before. He's talking about trade and immigration and foreign policy in a different way. It's not about against certain peoples or whatever. It's about America as a country and about trade wars, tariffs, and things like that.
No.
So, but anyway, back to the movie.
Yes.
I hated this movie. It wasn't funny. It was way over the top. It was a total lie. And all these based on a true story movies are never true. And it's a lot of baloney. Like I said, a black guy did not infiltrate the Klan. When you make a couple of phone calls and use a white accent, doesn't mean you infiltrated anything. It was a white Jewish agent that infiltrated. And what did they get out of it? Why did they infiltrate? The bottom line is that at the beginning of the movie, they had this black police officer infiltrate the black separatist movements, including SNCC, and Students for Democratic Society and all of those. And these groups did want to overthrow America. SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, was actually violent. And they did want to overthrow America, and they were very subversive and wanted to, destroy America from within. And it was legitimate to infiltrate these groups. They were, inspired by communists, and they were run by communists. So that was something that was legit. The Klan, I don't think they're on the same level. And I don't think they ever had the same power, at least not in the 80s, late 70s and early 80s.
Well, in the 1930s, the Ku Klux Klan actually had a majority in the Indiana House.
All right, but that's in the 30s. It's not at
the time
when this took place.
Well, and this this movie, the setup of the black guy calls, joins the Klan and all that, Dave Chappelle did a Comedy Central bit on this, okay?
Right.
This is an old Dave Chappelle bit that was very funny.
Right.
When
he was a blind guy that didn't know he was black, right, or couldn't see color. He was blind.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
He was blind.
I just remember that he divorced his wife because he found out that she was a lover. So that's what I remember. Dave Chappelle bit, Black Klansman.
Right.
Spike Lee takes the idea and tries to make a movie out of it with disastrous consequences.
Right. And Dave Chappelle's, he was blind. It was funny. This was not funny. And it was just very over-the-top, anti-white, racist, anti-Trump, and he uses footage of Trump and the march in Charlottesville and so on. And I think that's why he put the movie out this weekend, because it's like the 100th anniversary, or I'm sorry, the 1 year anniversary of the Charlottesville thing. But yeah, I mean,
the Antifa, right. Which, by the way, I drove through. I was on vacation and I drove through it, and I can tell you that the agitators were not the Antifa people. So, it was the people that showed up that started throwing the... Anyway, this just needs to where's Rodney King when you need him? Can't we all just get along?
Well, I think he's dead now.
I know that, but I'm saying, where's Rodney King? Or where is Rodney King when you need him?
Yeah, I don't even think he meant it, since he hung out with Sharpton and Jackson.
Sharpton is no more. You hardly see anything with.
What are you talking about? He's on MSNBC all the time. I mean,
I don't watch MSNBC. MSNBC is dead to me.
Why does it? Would you see Roseanne with the show on MSNBC?
And
Roseanne said a lot less and did a lot less than Al Sharpton, and she's not getting shows anywhere.
Well, Roseanne, of course, because she was perceived as being pro-Trump.
Right.
Had to go.
And conservative, which she isn't.
She is. And you know she isn't. You represent her, or you help her, you advise her, or whatever.
I don't represent her, but I know her. And I have advised her, but not in it as a lawyer. I'm not licensed in any of the states where she lives.
Here's a headline. Al Sharpton not ruling out 2020 run for president.
Please run.
Wait. Let me translate that. Al Sharpton is broke and can't pay his mortgage.
Well, MSNBC must be paying him something.
I'm sure they are.
When I go to my gym, Planet Bleepness, I belong to two gyms. One of them, I have to admit, is the transsexual allowing Planet Bleepness. Rhymes with fit. Fitness. So Planet Bleepness, they have, you know, all the different channels on their TVs, and they always have MSNBC on, and it's next to CNN and Fox News.
Yeah.
And his show is always on. I don't watch it, but I happen to see his ugly mug, you know, on there, and they must be paying him something.
I'm sure they are.
You know, he dumped his wife of many years for some, like, makeup artist that's, like, a third of his age.
I heard this, yeah.
So he's probably got to keep her in style.
I would imagine, yes. It's probably a very expensive style, too.
And probably the divorce was expensive, too, if that wife was smart.
Headline, Florida sheriff tells Reverend Al Sharpton to go back to New York and mind your own business.
That should be the world telling him to go back to where he came from and mind your own business.
Again, I don't watch MSNBC. As a matter of fact, I don't watch much television these days.
Me neither.
But if I did, it would not be MSNBC.
Right. Well, you know, I don't have cable, and if I did, I would not be watching the news channels. I know what I think, and I don't need to hear shrieking ranters of any stripe. Tell me what to think, but it happens to be on at the gym, and sometimes when I'm doing my run, I have to have, like, a continuous thing going so I can keep my mind off of, oh, my God, when is this going to end? How many more minutes? Oh, my God, I'm not done yet. Oh, my God, am I going to finish my run? So I do have, like, see the TV, and I do plug in my headphones to get my mind off of, oh, my God, you know?
Oh, my gosh. All right, Debbie.
By the way, that was four Marxes.
Four Marxes?
Plus four Obamas, plus four Michelle, Yvonne, Robinson, Hussein, Obama, Idi Amin, Dadas, plus three ISIS beheadings, plus two Jesse Jacksons, plus two Al Sharptons that Black Klansmen.
Now, are you going to get to review the Obama's TV show for Netflix?
I mean, if I want to, yeah, Netflix sends me whatever I asked them for.
All right, let's end on a positive note. Mittish Church and I watched Bad Samaritan last Friday night and loved it.
Wait, I can't remember what that one is.
And loved it.
Remind me what that one is.
The guys, they're valet
carpool. Oh, yeah, I love that movie where they're robbers.
Yes.
Didn't I tell you I liked that movie?
Yes. And that's why I brought it up, because Rotten Tomatoes said it sucked, okay? Rotten Tomatoes is just worthless. It's useless. Anyways, I always go to check when I like a movie. I said, I bet Rotten Tomatoes panned this thing and said it was rotten. Sure enough, the bad guy actor deserves better material. This was awesome material for a bad guy. What are you talking about?
To me, the premise was very interesting because I've never seen anything like that premise before. Almost everything is a repeater derivative. Like the Meg is a lot like Jaws. Even though I can't point to anything specific they stole from Jaws until you pointed out the Pippin thing.
Yes.
It's, you know, they definitely took stuff from Jaws. I mean, it's a shark chomping at people from the water. You know, it can't be done that many different ways. So there's nothing really new about it other than that it's much bigger and they have this underwater sea thing. And I felt that this movie, Bad Samaritan, was not derivative at all. It was very interesting. The only thing similar And they couldn't have really been derivative because they were made around the same time and came out around the same time, is that in the remake of Death Wish,
okay,
with Bruce Willis, that also came out around the same time as Bad Samaritan, there's a similar scam going on where the guys that do valet parking at a fancy restaurant, while the people are inside eating, they go to the person's house and rob them. That was the only thing that was similar to anything I'd seen before, and it was only, and it really wasn't taken from there because, like I said, the movies were made around the same time they came out around the same time.
Yeah, so
it was the only thing similar I'd
seen. So we concur. Bad Samaritan is worth your watching. All right, Debbie, I got to run, but
all right,
thank you.
Yes, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, and we'll see you next week. Read Debbie's movie reviews and her articles at DebbieDoesPolitics.com. All right, 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE. For the record, Patrick J. Buchanan is not a scumbag. And this will mark the second time that we have had a little tit-for-tat between Mitty Schlussel and I on this show in 11 years. So those are going to, you have to do it. You didn't. What's all this chatter about free speech? I'm in a church play. That wasn't free. It was. I understand. I do not. If that's her opinion of him personally, there is nothing I can do about it. I shall pray for her to overcome it. But Patrick J. Buchanan is not a scumbag, and he also used America First in the proper way. And as far now, from what I know, he's also a regular at St. Mary's, I believe, in Washington, D.C., which never lost the Latin Mass. And he goes to that church. I've seen him at it before. He's a good Catholic. He was raised Catholic. He knows his Catholicism. And he would know that that's not how you talk to our brothers and sisters that are Jewish and that are separated from us by religion right now. By the fact that one is baptized and the other is not. But there's no enmity there. You don't ever have enmity. Instead, you pray for conversions. And that's what we're supposed to do. All right. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. We have a very special treat coming up for you later on today here after the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel. There is a special episode of the Reverse Deception Show. It's coming to you live from Tombstone, Arizona. Yes, that tombstone. And here to tell us all about it is Secret Agent Bond. Junk Bond. Mr. Gregory Carpenter. Mr. Carpenter, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Church. How are you, sir?
It sounds to me like you need to stop traveling. Just in the first five words I got from you, you need to go home and stay there for a while, chum.
It's been a busy 2 months, hasn't it?
I mean, my gosh, we were wondering, has Greg disowned us? Did Bond leave the fold and nobody told me?
Greg's trying to pay the bills.
Man, but dude, how do you pay the bills from the beach in Jamaica? I thought coffee paid the bills.
Coffee paid. That's right. Coffee solves all problems. Yeah, no, well, the Jamaica thing was actually the first vacation that we really had in a long time. So we took that time and we enjoyed it.
Well, congratulations on
well deserved.
Yes, congratulations on the remarriage. Marriage.
That was a good and true full-blown deception plan. that's how you do it right.
So that wasn't a reverse deception. That was just a straight-up deception.
That was straight up. Yeah, Mrs. Carpenter had no idea it was coming. All the kids helped. They went down to the coordinator, worked with a photographer, and pretty much most of the staff, only people that I needed to have work on different parts and different aspects of it, were briefed, and they knew what was going on. The only one in the whole place or the whole hotel that didn't know was Mrs. Carpenter. And we went outside under the premise of a photo shoot. We had won a photo shoot. And we set up outside, so we got all dressed up and everything, got outside, took some pictures and stuff. And then as we walked over to, there was a bunch of chairs set up. And then all of a sudden, her eyes got big. And wait. She realized that just before we stepped up there in front of the preacher, it was her eyes became open and she realized what we were doing. And by then it was too late because she was already captive. And, you know, half the people who were involved with the plan were there. It was very exciting.
Well, congratulations. Now, were the Chirons on board too?
The Chirons were completely on board. They were the coordinators. They were the proxy. We even set up a special. We used WhatsApp when we were out of country to text. And we set up a special WhatsApp group, me and the Chirons, to be able to communicate and to move back and forth. I would pass them my credit card for this or that, and they would just go. They already had the instructions in the WhatsApp.
Well,
so they already had now, they needed to execute.
The question that everyone has on their mind is when you drag Mrs. Carpenter back up in front of the preacher to get remarried, did she say yes?
So that's an intriguing point. No, she did, yes.
Now, how do you know that wasn't a reverse deception?
I do not know that, but I think that,
she had her toes crossed. She's going like, all right, I'll marry you again. All right, won't
she? Oh, boy, this guy again?
Look, no, she went. She went, really, Mr. Bond, again? I'm still recovering from the first 23 years. Please. Now,
but it was great.
Are you going to have Val Kilmer on Reverse Deception today?
Yeah, we're trying to work out the details right now. Well, not right now. It's 5 o'clock in the morning here, or 6 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And when we came back from Jamaica, Mrs. Carpenter and I didn't sleep because we transferred through Newark, and our plane was, I don't know, 5 hours delayed.
Oh!
So we got home at 2 a.m. And then turned right around the very next day and took off for the airport at 5 a.m. So you could see the delta there for sleep.
Now,
extremely low.
I've done five-hour layovers recently, and I know 5 hours in an airport, as long as there is a bar or bars, is possible.
Yeah, but not with all the children.
Yeah. I can't imagine with kids. I guess you just try to find a deck of cards and play gin rummy or something with the kids or whatever.
That's funny. We were playing spades, yeah.
Well, there you go. You play cards and they call it a day.
Now,
Mitter Carpenter is, this is the second year now that he has been down for this festival in Tombstone to go see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Last year, it was the mayor of Tombstone who was the special guest. Or was this 2 years ago when you were there?
This was the commissioner, Keith Dunkel.
Yeah, the commissioner. It's very interesting to hear the history of Tombstone. And I suppose we're going to hear the history again. And maybe even have, because this is a Doc Holliday Festival this year, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is the Doc Holliday Festival. So Randy Quaid and Val Kilmer are going to be out here. Like I said, we're working with their people. As of yesterday, we were talking with the person who set this up is the guy who owns the...
You mean Dennis Quaid, not Randy Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, Randy Quaid was not in it. Dennis Quaid was in it.
No, tennis court. And Kevin Rudd sets up everything, and he works with the folks directly. So he's working on interview times for us right now. So we'll know interview times a little bit later on when the guys are available and stuff like that, because he's coordinated the calendar with Steve, the commissioner. So when we get into Tombstone a little bit later this morning, we'll know, we'll have a better idea what the schedule is and what things look like.
Now, so did the commissioner confirm that he got the banner?
I'm supposed to talk to him in about an hour.
Yeah, he should have it. So that's the Veritas Radio Network banner. So you'll hear all this right here live, beginning at 1 Central, 2 Eastern, here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Now, how long do you plan to stay on? I mean, stay on as long as you want. I'm just trying to get an idea.
Yeah, we're gonna start off a little bit early. We're gonna come in the second half of the Parrot Brief. Talk with Rick about that.
Ah, okay.
And, we're gonna pop in and out a little bit with him during the last hour of his show, and then we'll be on for probably 3 hours this afternoon.
Oh, fantastic!
Get folks in for the interviews and things like that.
So this will be live then from Tombstone, Arizona. Now, what is the actual title of the festival? Is it Doc Holliday Fest?
It is entitled The Doc Holidays.
The Doc Holidays.
Right. You can't beat that. That's pretty good.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry. That's it. So they... last year they had about 15,000. This year they're estimating over 20.
Wow! Now the real question is number one, I need a re-up of my Doc Holliday, Wyatt Earp, Curly Joe. What's Curly Joe's?
You'll get your new cigars.
My cigars. Okay, the four cigars. I'm gonna need. I need an update on that. And which it comes from the little cigar shop that you were. Are you going to be broadcasting from their little cigar shop again?
That's right. That's the Smoke Signals Cigar Shop, right in the middle of Allen Street, which is the main street in Tombstone. It's pretty much in the center of town, right across the street from the OK Corral.
So Doc Holliday just stopped by.
Well. I suppose I'm deranged, but I guess I'll just have to call. Cover your ears, darling.
Why, Johnny Ringo, I'm your Huckleberry. My beef ain't with you, Holiday.
There you go. So, and I did bring, I came down here fully loaded, locked and stocked with a few cigars that I picked up, too, thanks to the, thank you to President Obama for partially lifting the ban on the Cuban cigars. I brought back four boxes of Cuban cigars with me.
What? Milka, what? Now, what did you? Yeah, yeah. Now, which Cuban cigars did you get?
Well, I got the some Bolivars.
Ooh.
I got some Ramon Alonez.
Oh. Now, wait, Mitterbond?
And Monte Cristos.
Now, you will be sending some Ramon Arones to yours truly, correct? I'll trade you some coffee, damn it.
It's a coffee for sticks, huh? I see. Yeah, very good.
Yes.
Yeah, we brought back our limit. And then we found some very unique scotches that are, you know, only available overseas. And we brought back a couple of those.
Well, I want to tell you something. I don't know if you've ever had this bourbon, but I want to thank my new buddy, Don Scarborough in Doosan. He brought out when I was at Rusty and Julie's at the Lamont compound in Doosan. I never had this bourbon before. And it's the only bourbon that I believe is still bottled in bond. And I thought of you. Wait a minute, bottled in bond? That's junk bond. Wow. So bottled in bond, Colonel Taylor, bottled in bond. And I asked my Piggly Wiggly Scotch or whiskey dude. I said, "Hey, Mike, if I show you a picture of a bottle of bourbon, can you ask the dude if he can get it or not?" And he goes, "Yeah, of course." So I showed it to him, and he said, "He goes, now if I get this, you'll buy it." I said, "Absolutely." I went in there yesterday, Greg, and he had five bottles. I just sent Mrs. O'Connell an image of the case that the bourbon comes in. Have you ever had this?
No, I haven't.
Wait a minute. Wait, are you telling me that Colonel E.H. Taylor Jr., small batch bourbon, Gregory Junk Bond Carpenter has not had it? I have a whiskey that you haven't had?
That's right.
Oh, today is like, yeah. It's my birthday. Uh-huh.
It's your birthday.
I got my cold cuts. I'm doing the icky shuffle
what's
here.
Color, what's the content? How is it?
It's delicious. Oh. It's 100 proof. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. When I see you next, I shall bring you a bottle.
Oh, there's a deal for you. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, if I don't get my Ray Moni Alonis, you ain't getting nothing. I'm your huckleberry.
Okay. I think we can work out a deal somehow.
All right. Now, when you're done in Tombstone, are you going back to the Hacienda?
Yeah, we'll be at the Hacienda.
Okay.
Finally.
Okay. Now, I keep calling out to you, but I guess in your busy schedule, you have not had occasion. I guess, Gregory, in your busy schedule, doing my best stock holiday, you haven't had time to listen to the Crusade Channel's Mike Church show, because certainly, old chap, you would have heard the King Dude calling out to you. I guess I'll just rack that one up to experience. Now, I have a task for you.
Okay.
It has occurred to me, and I believe that research, that reality and the facts bear this out, that after the sacking of Alex Jones from Facebook and YouBoob and whoever else banned him and what have you here, right. I have had the sneaking suspicion, and so has David, and so has Mrs. O'Connell and several others, that we too have been, that we were being actively suppressed. And based on the events, the last three weeks or so, I believe that I can now confirm that, yes, and I don't know how they're doing it, and that's your job. How are they keeping search engines and social media searches and algorithms and what have you? How are they using these algorithms to suppress us? That's your job. You have to find out how they're getting away with it. So, and we know that they're getting away with it because people are calling because they're finding the show at canon212.com and they're going like, where has this been? I searched for talk radio, Catholic talk radio all the time. It doesn't come up. Nobody knows you exist, Mike.
Yeah, that's bad.
Well, what?
I would say, I mean, it's happened before. You know, they do that, search engines do that to promote certain information, and they also do it to deny other information. I remember the famous case with Her Royal Highness, Hillary, where anytime you put in Hillary and law, and it you were talking about, you were looking to find information about her breaking the law, Hillary breaking the law, it came out as she was a proponent for tougher laws for gun control or something like that.
Right.
You couldn't find anything about her breaking the law. It just didn't show up, and that was on the Google search engine, and Ask and Bing did the same thing. Bing not as much, but there was a few of them that were working together. They were using the same types of algorithms to limit the information that came back and skew it so that it made it look like, you know, anything you found on Her Royal Highness was good.
Well,
that does happen. So we'll look into that. See, so that those types of things are actually, those are more considered more trade secrets. So they on how their algorithms work,
right, right,
how they process. But I think it should be something that should be more public. If you're going for an open information society, which is one of those things, you know, I've been looking. Excuse me for being, you know, persistent on this, but I've been looking for that bridge for the 21st century to the open information society that we're supposed to have.
Well, you remember the Apple 1984 ad where the guy goes, the Information Purification Society, right?
Oh, sure. Big time. That made me have the creepy skin type of the George Orwell thing going all up and through me.
I felt like
Big Brother was just like just cramming, you know, information down my throat. Even at that point, they had stepped over the bounds, and their idea was to limit the information that you had by giving you only what they felt you needed.
844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Mike Church Show here on a Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers, recapping. And I wish I would have promoted this more in advance, but recapping, you're not going to want to miss today's episode of Reverse Deception Radio because it comes to you live from Tombstone, Arizona, from the Doc Holliday's Festival from the movie Tombstone. And Greg Carpenter is going to actually broadcast to you for a couple of hours live from there. We may have guest appearances from actors Val Kilmer and actor Dennis Quaid. What'd you call him? The commissioner?
The commissioner, Steve Trunkle, commissioner of Tombstone.
The commissioner of Tombstone will be on hand.
He gets elected every 4 years. He just doesn't. He's probably the best and smartest guy they got out there, and he's a transplant. And boy, he knows everything about that town. And he's going to bring up some other new and different things that we hadn't talked about on the show before about the mysteries and hidden history in Tombstone too. So he's a lot of fun to listen to. Very, very smart guy.
Now, if you don't remember, this is the audio version of the 1984 ad.
We celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directives. We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology, where each worker may bloom, secure from the pests of a contradictory force. Our unification of the force is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on earth. We are one people, with one will, one resolve, one cause. Our enemies shall talk themselves to death, and we will bury them with their own confusion. We shall prevail.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh, and you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
So, Mr. Bond, there's so much in there. The Information Purification Society, a garden of pure ideology, secure from the pests of any contradictions or any contradictory thoughts. Our enemies will destroy themselves. We shall prevail. I mean, look, that's what's happening with Pride Book taking over the freaking internet and Google and the big three. There's Apple. The big four: Apple, Amazon, Pride Book, and Google. You can't look. People do not realize how dangerous and what a threat this is, do they?
No, they really don't. Once one entity or a small group of entities controls how information is delivered and how information is parsed through and processed to be analyzed to give to people, you're in extreme danger of losing everything that a free press could ever, you give you in writing. It's you're nearly at the end. You're getting to that 1984 scenario because you're going to lose the ability for objectiveness for anything else that comes out in the news or anything else that happens in the town, in the city. That type of information is going to be suppressed if it's not what the people, and it's not necessarily the politicians doing it. It's the people that own the venue for the information to be transmitted or communicated to somebody else. And if those people happen to be owned by the politicians, I don't think they are. I think they're owned by big money still, like they always have been. Then it's the politicians who pander to them to try to have good information about politicians put out there.
Right.
Which is why we don't see, you know, I laughed when the artificial intelligence showed up with, 28 different members of Congress and said that they were, you know, felons and mistakenly identified them as felons. And I looked down the list of all the pictures, and I was just thinking to myself, well, this guy committed crimes, and this guy's, you know, this guy was embezzling money in this private company, so I guess he is a felon, too. And then he became a member of Congress. This guy was doing insider trading, and then he became a member of Congress. And I was thinking, like, well, most of these guys have already committed felonies. So maybe the artificial intelligence got it right in the first place.
Hey, wait a minute. Maybe, just maybe, being a member of Congress is a felony. Today requires you to commit felonies.
Yeah, Mrs. Carpenter just pointed out there's another congressman just got nailed for insider trading up here. Of course they get nailed for insider trading. I mean, that's what these guys are doing in the first place. That's how they make all their money. They make the laws for Wall Street, and they know exactly what's coming up and what's going to happen and how those laws affect people and how they affect business. Of course they know how all that stuff works.
Well, you need to call back on Monday so we can have a longer conversation about this. I got to go. But I'm looking forward to hearing Doc Holliday's Fest, live reverse deception today from the middle of the Barrett Brief Show, noon Central, that's 1 Eastern, into the wee hours of the afternoon, hosted by Gregory Carpenter. You may hear the voices of Dennis Quaid and Val Kilmer and the mayor and the commissioner of Tombstone and other luminaries who will be Greg's guest. He is broadcasting live. Now, what's the name of the cigar shop again?
Smoke Signal Cigar Shop.
Smoke Signal Cigar Shop. They have a fantastic set of 4 Tombstone-themed cigars that you can actually get there as well. Greg, we shall be standing by and ready to take your transmission this afternoon, brother. See you then.
Sounds great. And by the way, Mrs. Carpenter's going to have a 6-shooter, and I'll be dancing. we'll try to get the video for that, too.
All right. Sounds good, brother. See you then.
God bless.
All right, God bless you. We got to go way over time again. And, of course, we have our BG Superfest Marathon coming up next year at the top of the hour. Folks, I'm inviting you to go again to the store at mikechurch.com/shop and reserve, pre-order, and then ask friends and family. Make sure that they know that the Convert T-shirt and bumper sticker are now available. Newly updated 2.0 Convert artwork. Yes, we borrowed the theme from someone who had done it before, but it is our own creation, and I think you're going to love it. Get a T-shirt today, save $5, but you got to pre-order by Monday. That's when the sale ends. And you can do so, by the way, on our app. If you download the Crusade Channel radio app, which is free in Google Play Store and the iTunes Store, search for Veritas Radio Talk Radio Network. You'll find it there. But go and order that shirt and go get it today or this weekend. You can order it as Christmas gifts. Go ahead and save the $5 because the price is going up on Monday. And so is the price on the bumper sticker. All of you got cars and trucks. You're going to want the bumper sticker. You can buy them in quantity right now for just $2.99 a piece. That's a deal. So go to mikechurch.com/shop. And please, there are email, Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus links on that page that enable you to share it with anyone you have a connection with in any of those media. That's all online at MikeChurch.com/shop. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth for Radio Size Speakers, here with your 8:30 a.m. news headlines. A little delayed from the Crusade Channel news desk here on a Free Phone Friday. Mid is Celeste Youngblood. Then we'll be back with our BG Super Medley in the final hour of our show. Celeste?